Teaching quality is crucial to learning, especially for kids that come from low-income families. Their parents may be illiterate and unable to help with homework, and they may have little access to magazines and books. From the data that's available, teacher quality seems to be quite low in the public school system in Mexico, and this is especially true for kids from the poorest areas. The government doesn't offer many incentives to get good teachers to go to rural and indigenous communities. Typically, teachers for those areas are chosen because they speak the native language, not because they have any teaching ability. But even given this preference for native language speakers, it's estimated that 1/3 of indigenous educators are placed in towns that speak a different indigenous language than their own. In this video, we'll explore some of the reasons why teaching quality tends to be low on average in Mexico. The first reason is the fact that the government does little to attract good students into the field. For instance, there are typically no full-ride scholarships for top students to pursue teaching degrees. Another problem is that the institutions that award teaching degrees are typically of low prestige and low quality. The government has failed to enforce any minimum standards on these institutions. The PRI traditionally treated teaching positions as a form of political patronage, that is, as a way to reward party followers. That legacy unfortunately lives on, as positions are treated as a commodity in many parts of Mexico. For instance, teaching positions are bought and sold or passed on to relatives, as opposed to being given to the best applicant. Teacher training tends to be substandard, focusing too much on theory and not enough on whether the person understands the subject and can actually teach it. There are no national standards for testing whether teachers understand the subject matter well, but the few data that we do have is not promising. A recent report notes that, quote, "The share of questions that an average Mexican teacher could answer correctly in a national teacher knowledge exam in 1996 to 2000 was just 50%. And even after they are hired, there's rarely on-the-job training, nor is there a good mentoring system for new teachers that would help them improve their skills. Besides personal satisfaction, there are no real incentives to be a good teacher in Mexico. Teachers are awarded tenure after 6 months on the job, which means that they have a job for life with little concern for teaching quality or the possibility of being fired. Salaries typically are not tied to merit or to class evaluations. There's no way to get bad teachers out of the classroom. School principals do not have the authority to fire teachers or even to recommend that they be fired. The biggest reason, though, is the National Teachers Union. Its acronym in Spanish is the SNTE. It wields an enormous amount of power over schooling in Mexico, more than any other teachers union in the Latin American region. Over 60 years ago, the government decreed that there could only be one teachers union and that every public school teacher and most administrators had to join. The union was so enmeshed with the PRI that it was considered a, quote, virtual arm of the party. Union representatives still form an integral part of the state. They are often appointed to positions in the Ministry of Education and, according to one analysis, quote, work against government efforts to increase accountability, efficiency, and transparency in the system. The union also has a fair number of its members in the legislature, which allows it to shape legislation. So what specific power does the union have? Well, it has a lot. It has a monopoly over supply of teachers. It has the power to veto decisions made on contracts, training, hiring, incentives, sanctions, and teacher placement. It also is legally entitled to, quote-unquote, commission teachers to take a paid leave of absence from teaching to do union work. It's estimated that more than 10% of teachers at any point in time are commissioned in this way. And union work is defined broadly here to include things like working on election campaigns. It's thought that the union places its own interests above those of the students. And since the union can provide so much electoral support, politicians have traditionally given it, quote, free rein, ironclad job security for teachers, and third-rate education for students. So what is the potential for reform? Well, there are a lot of obstacles to reforming the educational system. First, there are powerful interest groups, like the teachers' union, that benefit from how things are now and will fight vehemently to keep it that way. There are also politicians who use the system for patronage and who are also likely to favor the status quo. On the demand side, there's been little pressure from parents to increase the quality of public education. And when parents do complain, there are no real channels for them to make a difference. The rich and upper-middle-class parents send their children to private schools, typically, so they don't experience how bad the public schools are, and they're also less willing to increase taxes for public school reform, since they already pay for private school education. Things may be changing, though. Recent surveys show a broad dissatisfaction with the system and with the teachers' union. President Peña Nieto has made education reform one of the cornerstones of his presidency. Already in 2013, the government has passed a reform bill that seeks to, quote, create a system of uniform standards for teaching hiring and promotion based on merit, and will allow for the first census of Mexico's education system. The census is important because no one knows exactly how many schools, teachers, or students exist in Mexico. The plan will move much of the control of the public education system to the federal government from the teachers' union. The government also arrested Elba Esther Gordillo, the head of the National Teachers Union in Mexico since 1989, on charges of embezzlement and organized crime. Until now, she's been relatively untouchable, although this arrest may have more to do with her split with the PRI rather than a new spirit of anti-corruption on the part of the government. But in closing, I want to say that Mexico is famous for elegant laws and rough-and-tumble practice. The new bill is a good start, but real education reform will be a long, hard road, and the jury is still very much out. All of the information in this video and the quotes come from Jeffrey Puryear's, Lucrecia Santibáñez, and Alexandra Solano's Education in Mexico, which is an excellent introduction to some of the problems that the Mexican educational system has. The information on the new reforms in Mexico is by E. Eduardo Castillo's 2013 Huffington Post article.